T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam.
Bet you $1,000 that I can beat you in a game with a golf club.
This is U.S. Open Week with Dusty, Keep the Cart Girl Busy, Hera, and Cam, Big Stick, Cleland.
Give me the lumber.
The Fans U.S. Open Week.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Dusty and Cam on 1080.
Gunga, Galunga.
The Fan.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday to you, hump day. Dusty and Cam in the morning. Good morning, Mr. Cleland. How are you?
This is a good day.
Oh, for realsies.
This is a good day.
What do you got
we
for
got,
me?
What do I got?
What do you got for me?
We got lots of stuff. Clippers. Clippers clipped it. Didn't they?
Our poor former producer, Alex Crawford, in his misery.
I have no sympathy for that at all. I have zero sympathy.
Oh,
none.
Boy. You know, there was growth.
You SoCal
though.
Bros can go, you know, shine off into your nice little beach and your sun, and you can clip your way right on over to Inglewood in your new building because it's still the Lake Show.
There is progress, though, because remember when Crawford was producer of our show, he dang near missed the program the day after the Clippers were bounced from the playoffs because he threw his phone against the wall.
Yeah,
and
destroyed
broke it.
Yes, destroyed it. I thought I was asked him on Twitter last night if he was on phone two and backup, and then Sprague was right on top, said no, I think he's on phone three at this point. I mean, just set your standards.
Oh, burner Clippers. Phones are being broken, but he did not break his main phone. So the progress. Maturity.
We can talk all about that later, too.
Clippers did get bounced, but that's not even the biggest story.
No.
After,
and then there was one.
And after the hot mic picked up Nebraska's president saying,
then there
we're
going to
announce it. Announce Husker and Big Ten football's coming back today.
Wait a minute. Well, was George W. Bush the president of
Nebraska? No, that's W.
Sorry.
W's got a little bit more.
A little bit more twang.
Strategery.
You got now watch this drive.
Yeah. Now that's his dad.
No, watch this drive. That was his when he was giving the evildoers and
well, I know,
and do
but
that.
You sounded like his dad.
Yeah.
You went HW there.
Yeah. Not gonna do it.
But
wouldn't be prudent at this juncture.
The Big Ten is finally back. Everybody's saying that
then
there will be an announcement, but everybody's already making the announcement. So
and then
Big
there
Ten
was one.
Back. Yeah.
The last coast. The left coast. The last conference. I'm saying this. Come on. You got to have a sense. Someone's got to have a sense of humor. Every meme today is the Undertaker coming out of the coffin this morning. Just like, whoa.
Isn't it very Big Ten of them to screw up this announcement, though?
No, like, why? Why would they screw it up?
Because they screwed everything else up with
who
all of their
up?
Announcement. Kevin Warren not giving any information. They have botched this thing every sense of the way. The
I don't think they've
president
botched it.
On a hot mic sitting there. Hey,
you can't hide from media anymore. There's no escape from a phone, a camera.
Know where you are.
You can't keep secrets. There's too many voices, too many things. And by the way, Kevin Warren, no matter what now, you can say the man didn't stand up and say, I had to make this decision, and I have to stay the course. They were willing to change. They were willing to change their mind. You know what it's like to have somebody that's willing to change their mind?
Mm-hmm.
That's a refreshing thought, isn't it? Isn't it refreshing to go, hey, one point of time I felt this way?
Yeah.
And then another time I was able to change my mind after I what? Got more information, studied a few things, listened to a few people. It's all right. That's a great job by the Pac. Oh, wait, sorry. The Big Ten.
Yeah, but Larry Scott's saying those things too, but there's a lot of things that are just out of his control right now, including
leadership,
not
or
having the presidents on his the ability to even bring it to a vote right now. I mean, he said it himself, like, the Quidel thing is a game changer for them. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a game changer.
It's going to be a game changer when they're sitting on the sideline playing in January going, yippity-doo!
But
so it's going to be a game changer.
There's still big hurdles in the way of the Pac-12. And that will be our P1 social today.
Yeah.
503-250-1080. We want to hear from you. The Pac-12, they got players and coaches starting to speak up. Is daily testing enough to get the Pac-12 back on the field? Mm-hmm. Want to hear from you. And by the way, that is, according to Pete Thamel, that is what got the Big Ten back, is that they have an agreement for rapid testing.
Yeah.
Just like the Pac-12 does.
Big deal.
And they are coming back. Is that enough? 503-250-1080. We would love to hear from you today. We've got NFL that we need to talk about today. It seems like everybody's getting hurt in the NFL.
Panic in week one. Isn't it crazy how one weekend.
Yeah.
Panic.
We already
injuries.
Have one Hall of Famer saying a coach is ripping apart his team.
Jeez.
One weekend. Oh my
God. The Jets are a clown show.
Actually, that's we could say that any week. Right?
I feel bad for Sam Darnold. Feel really bad. Oh, no. Wait a minute. A little bit. It is New York. What will be the amount of wins right now, predict, between the Giants and the Jets combined for the season? There are how many?
Six.
32 options.
I'm saying six.
Six between the two.
Wait, I need to
six.
Check.
I think they'll get closer to 10.
You think 10 wins?
I think the Giants are going to pick up some wins as the season goes on.
I think the Giants are a 5-win team. I think the Jets are maybe a 3-13 team.
Yeah, the Jets are
maybe
a mess.
Four.
Oh, my God. You tell me where you see the first Jets win, okay?
They've already
lost to the Bills.
Yeah.
Here's their next schedule.
They'll end up beating some arbitrary team falls asleep just like last year.
They have the Niners. They go on the road to Indy. Then they have the Broncos, the Cardinals, the Chargers, the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Patriots.
Oh, they'll get a couple wins in there. They'll get one. Somebody will fall asleep. Didn't the Jets beat? Who did the Jets beat last year that were like, what the heck just happened?
A lot of teams after Darnold got over his.
They went 6-2 to finish the season.
Whatchamacallit?
Yeah.
His mono?
Mono. Mono. Was mono. It mononucleosis?
Yeah. Yeah. Right now.
Right.
Right now, it's always. They beat the Steelers. Or no. They beat Buffalo at the end of the year. That was their best win because the Steelers was Duck Hodgins at the end of the year.
Okay.
But in their 6-2 stretch, they beat the Giants, the football team, the Raiders, the Dolphins, and the Steelers with Duck Hodgins. And then they ended the year with a win against Buffalo when Buffalo didn't really have much going on. But they did go 6-2. So they got that going for them, which is nice. And then as it pertains to the Giants, I mean, they've got the Browns, the Bengals, and the Bears on their schedule. So, I mean, they
got a couple wins there.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to go under 10, though, between the two. I'm going to take the under. I'm going to say it's going to be 9. If you set it 9.5, like a better, just like everybody else it would have a sports book, they'd set it at 9.5.
What if I set it at 8.5?
8.5?
Mm-hmm.
I take the over.
You take the over.
Yeah,
so, you just
I think 9 is the number.
Period. But who gets 5
times.
And who gets 4?
I got the Giants with 5.
Okay.
Jets with 4.
Okay, perfect. All right, we just figured out there's no need for them to play their season. What the hell are they doing? They're wasting their time right now.
Money.
We just figured it out. We just figured out exactly what they're going to do. Just go away. We'll see you next year.
Who's the other Cowboys that tore his ACL swag?
Jarwin?
Yeah,
the tight
Jarwin.
End.
God dang, I saw that too. Man! Mm. Just is.
Yep.
Ugh. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Oh, we've got another update to our caddy bro friend.
Caddy bro.
Yeah. He wasn't playing. The guy who was in the motel room with the gunshot holes in the wall.
Yeah.
He has gotten out.
He did. He only had to spend one night there.
He got a good, I guess hundreds of people were reaching out to him being like, dude, I got a place you can stay, man.
I got a room for you. I got something.
You don't need to be doing this. You can go and stay at an actual place where you won't.
Do we know the true name of that hotel where he stayed?
Yes. It was called the Roach Motel.
No, really. Oh. What was the name of it? Did anybody know?
No idea. I have no idea what it was. I didn't do very much in investigating into where a caddy for the U.S. Open was staying.
The fact that those hotels exist is incredible.
Here's my question. Where's his player at in all of this being like, dude, you can just sleep on my floor? You know, because he's the looper.
That's what I had to do in college,
man. For one of the guys. And it was just like, you see that video. If you're the player, why aren't you going, come on, man.
I hook you up?
So you can come and sleep on my floor.
It's kind of like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. All they had was a queen bed. I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to get the rollaway? I don't even think they do have rollaways anymore. They charge you extra.
Mm. And they do.
That's a good point. Well, yeah, I would just say I'm going to throw some blankets on the floor. You can just sleep on the floor. That's
firm
a reasonable
mattress,
thing.
Huh?
Yeah. Right. Well, is it better than staying in the?
I don't know. It sounded
the stabby
like
stabby
inn. That's the gunshot
dear God.
Inn.
Yeah.
Right. The murder inn.
Yeah, the
we
murder
call it the
motel?
Murder. The blood splatter hotel.
Yeah. I mean, nobody wants that. You're going to have like meth heads and prostitutes keeping you up all night.
Right.
No, just sleep on my floor, man. That's what I would have gone with. But as it is, he got out. He has a good place to stay. The U.S. Open starts tomorrow.
I legitimately would have slept in the rental car.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I would have slept in the locker room at Wingfoot.
If they allow it.
Who?
I don't know.
They
got security. It's Wingfoot, man. Have you been to the Hamptons? They don't let much in there.
They should understand
sure.
what he's going through. All right, so we got foosball to go. A lot of foosball today. We really do want to hear from you on the Pac-12, though. Get your thoughts on the Pac-12. Players, coaches, including some Oregon Ducks, have been speaking up on social media. Is daily testing enough for the Pac-12 to get back on the field? And we got Salty Dame and CJ to discuss as well. One of my favorite parts of the night last night. Where we start? How do we go anywhere else? The Clipper collapse. Only one guy's taking the blame, but plenty are taking the credit. This is Dusty and Cam on The Fan. The Denver Nuggets have done something that's never been done before. They've erased a 3-1 deficit in back-to-back playoff series in the NBA.
Not once, but twice.
Pretty impressive for the Denver Nuggets. I mean, that's a tough feat. You're looking at three, you're staring down the barrel at three opportunities of closeout games for your opponent, and you're able to ward them all off. And Denver did it, but they were aided by an epic collapse by the Los Angeles Clippers, especially in this round of the conference semifinals.
Well, you know, I was going to immediately not just retort to this. I'm going to wonder if the message is because it's going to be more about what the Clippers didn't do instead of what Denver did do.
Right.
Because what Denver did do was outplay them and outpick and rolled them. And Jokic is now, I don't know if you heard.
Outcoached him.
What are you, is that not a surprise with Doc Rivers? Is the problem really Doc? I'm starting to think. I'm not just starting to think. It's quite obvious that Doc Rivers is the problem.
All right. I have this via Peter Vesey. Doc Rivers, 2003, blew a 3-1 lead. 2009, 3-2 lead. 2010, 3-2 lead. 2012, 3-2 lead. 2015, 3-1 lead. 2016, 2-0 lead. 2020, 3-1 lead for the third time.
Yeah, it's coaching. It's got to be. There's no question it is at this point. There's no question that you have that kind of talent that's inexcusable. But that doesn't take away what Denver did. They outplayed him, physically outplayed him,
mm-hmm.
shot better, played looser. And by the way, you have two quote-unquote superstars and, you know, second best player on the coast. I mean, that's arguable.
What,
isn't
Kawhi
it arguable? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this year, and I know that Steph Curry's hurt. And that's kind of where we're at. But Kawhi Leonard, I mean, you can't argue that. He's second best player. I mean, some might say he's the best player. But that wasn't last night.
No. Look, the Los Angeles Clippers going full possessions in the fourth quarter, trying to make a comeback, and Kawhi Leonard's not touching the basketball. How in the world
disjointed, bad
does
coaching.
That happen?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you have Paul George on the floor. Kawhi Leonard should be touching the basketball. He should be a focal point of what you're doing offensively. And the fact that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, combined to go 0-for-11 from the field in that fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not just on
them. They choked.
That's on coaching.
They choked. They got nervous.
A massive choke job.
Yeah, they choked. They got nervous. They couldn't compose themselves. They started reading their own press clippings. They started preparing for the... I guarantee you that Doc Rivers... And Tyronn Lue and the rest of that crew started watching Laker videos when they got up at 3-1. They said, okay, let's start concentrating on what we're going to do against the Lakers. Totally took their mind off the ball, disrespected the Denver Nuggets, and they just got walked on. And they got embarrassed, and that's what you get. So let's all say it together. 1, 2, 3.
Cabo.
There you
Cancun?
Go.
Cancun?
There you go.
Where are we
Say
going?
It together.
Where are we going to go?
I don't know. Can we travel there?
Yeah.
It's open.
You might have to go quarantine in Hawaii for two weeks.
Wait a minute. They got net jets. They got no problem.
Yeah. You can get anywhere, swag.
Okay.
You can get a private
jet and fly into their own private airport.
Can't go to Canada, though.
Right.
On this choke job, though, coming out of it, Paul George had one head scratcher of a quote coming out of this game.
This is pathetic.
Here is the Clippers' second best player on where the expectations were this year.
Fact of the matter is we didn't live up to that expectation. But I think internally we've always felt this is not a championship or bust year for us. We can only get better the longer we stay together and the more we're around each other. The more chemistry for this group, the better. I think that's really the tell of the tape of the season. We just didn't have enough time together.
Okay.
Wow.
So wait a minute now. So just hold on a second. You mean to tell me that you assembled that team now you have two six-man of the year on your roster.
Yes.
You have two perennial quote-unquote superstars, one that's coming off a championship, who signed a big deal, who announced it to come to L.A. You added multiple pieces during the season. You load management yourself to try to save yourself for the season of this year, and your excuse after walking out and losing a game is to say, this wasn't an all-in or else kind of season. Do you know how awful that sounds? Do you realize that when you compete in these pros and some of the and I get it. Now, some of these guys think this way. And let me just tell you how hard it is once you get to the pro level to actually care about winning, because a lot of them just care about getting their money. There's an example for you right stinking there. It's obvious, Paul George. Obvious, dude. You just said it. It's more important. What, your chemistry of what? You were up 3-1.
Well, and here's the thing with that Paul George is when he says that, you sit there and you go, all right, so you had Paul George out with a shoulder injury for a big part of the year, okay? So maybe he's talking about that. But to sit there and say, like, oh, it can't be done, we have these issues. The guy who you are paired with played 1 year in Toronto and won a championship last year.
Mm-hmm.
It to say like, oh, yeah, that was the big thing. The guy you're paired with did it a year ago. Now, what Doc Rivers said maybe is what Paul George meant, which is when you have guys like Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell all leaving the bubble and for extended periods. And he said those guys were out of shape. Mm-hmm. Because they were gone for such extended periods of time and they weren't just in the swing things.
So they weren't in all in.
Maybe that's what he's talking about.
Oh, he's calling out his teammates in a side eye a little bit.
But to sit there and say your expectations weren't championship, well, then why in the heck are you guys sitting there and talking about that being your expectation all season long?
Well, that was said very clearly by our own hometown CJ McCollum on Twitter, and we'll get into that later too, discussing that they were a team that said, we don't really want to come back and play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They did vote. Apparently, like when the Bucks protest happened, there was a report that the Clippers did vote to not play, not return.
Shocking that the Clippers did that.
What? Voted or?
No, that their whole mindset. This isn't not shocking. This is not shocking at all to see that Paul George made an excuse. They voted not to play. LeBron James and the rest of the crew that actually care about winning and value what it is to get a championship. There you go. That's it. All right.
Look, the championship or bust is something that it should have been the Clippers' expectation.
Should've been
everybody's, it was their owner's expectation. Yeah. And Paul George, when you go 0 for 11 with your partner in the fourth quarter, 0 for 7 from 3, including clanking one off the front of the rim from three.
That's not going to sit well with Jerry West. That comment is not going to sit well with Steve Ballmer. Do you think Steve Ballmer likes to finish last? Here's a guy that's, you really think that Steve Ballmer, the way he acts, the way he's one of the wealthiest man in the world, built Microsoft together with Bill Gates. You think Jerry West wants to hear, hi, I'm 80. Let's tag this up and let's go into the next few years. I'm hanging around just to hear you go, this wasn't our year. Do you think we built this roster for you to say that? Horrible look.
You know what it was, though? On top of the Clippers shriveling, and it was the Nuggets playing their damn butts off. And Jamal Murray after the game, I love what Jamal Murray had to say. He's young and he's brash.
We've been showing it. We've been showing it. I don't know how else to say it. We've been showing it. And you got Shaq, you got Charles, you got, I think, Zach Lowe's his name. I don't even know. Stephen A., all y'all better start giving this team some damn respect, because we put in the work and we got a resilient team. And, you know, we should have been down 3-1, but, you know, to come back from 3-1 against the Clippers, it was a big achievement. So it's fun just to, you know, change that narrative. Y'all can finally start changing the narrative and looking at us in a better light.
I love that from Jamal Murray. He goes off for 40 points. He and Jokic were an incredible duo last night. And how about Jokic with a triple-double at halftime with 15 boards? He finished with 16 points, 22 rebounds, 13 assists from your center.
the small ball attitude. Here's the two small ball teams. The Clippers aren't a big team. Okay, they were going to struggle with the Lakers anyway. I do believe that if that happened. But they tried the small ball. They're gone. The Rockets tried the small ball. Who's the biggest guy on the Clippers roster that plays big?
Well, the Clippers?
Yeah.
They got Zubac.
But Zubac doesn't make any difference. He brings no value to that team in that series. And you could see it. He didn't even play.
They had to pull him because Jokic is a matchup nightmare. And that's a problem with Jokic is that he's a big, but he moves like he's small. And he is one of those guys we had that, you know, the unicorn is Kristaps Porzingis. Yeah. My God, Jokic and his ability to move, pass, distribute, his court IQ through the roof.
Sure,
man.
But he is an anomaly, and exceptions don't prove rules, but he's the most gifted center passer. He's an elite passer. He's an elite player. He is so versatile, and you're right. First of all, he needs to work on his beard game because it's a little patchy. Anyway, I digress. Small ball didn't work. It didn't work. It didn't work for Houston against the Lakers, who are nothing but length, big, long, fast, explosive, and now you get a chance to see there's tons of talent and big players that they can throw at Jokic and throw a ton of that moving into this series. But I'm sorry, you need to be able to have a versatile center. You need to be able to play that way versus the Lakers. And if you can't even beat the Denver Nuggets in that mindset, look at the two teams that tried to change the narrative and say, we're going to shoot our way. We're going to here's the other defensive side of the Clippers is that you would expect them to play very good defense. And they did. They couldn't make a shot. Could make a shot in the fourth quarter.
Nobody
could make a shot.
And I think that
hit the side of the backboard, Paul George.
With those guys, though, I look at the Clippers and I don't think of them as a small ball team at all. But when you go 9 of 35 from three, it's not like they tried to fill it. Denver actually shot more threes than they did in that game. They had an inability. What you're saying is they had an inability to connect from beyond the arc. It was painful. Watch those guys.
If you can't make outside shots and you continue to shoot and you don't have an inside game, what are you?
Well, you're going home.
Yeah, you're 1-2-3 Cancun.
Yes, you are. And the Denver Nuggets are now taking on the Los Angeles Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. Woo, giddy up. That series starts Friday.
What is it like to be Paul George and just get bounced like that every single year?
I don't know. He did say this is the first year I've had expectations and not being the underdog.
Which is nice.
I guess.
He seems like a good guy. He does. He doesn't seem like a... He's not a bad guy. He just kind of steps in it.
Well, this is what happens when you give yourself a nickname.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Right?
Yeah.
The Pac-12 is speaking up. Is daily testing enough to get the Pac-12 back on the field? Want to hear from you. 503-250-1080. The Big Ten is...
Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
Every morning at 6:30, Dusty and Cam want to hear from you.
Went to the coast, we get together, have a few laughs.
It's time for Dusty and Cam's P1 Social.
Want me to drive?
No, I'll drive.
The time of the day where you drive the conversation.
Well, we're waiting.
Text Dusty and Cam at 503-250-1080 and get social with us.
This is your time.
On 1080.
Now go out there and take it.
The Fan.
503-250-1080. That is the Fan text line, folks. The Big Ten has made it official. They did this 20 minutes ago. They have adopted a stringent medical protocol, and they will resume football October 23rd and the 24th. So there's a lot of details to what the Big Ten is going to be doing that we will get into and give you an outline of a plan as the show goes along. But this is one thing that is being credited, and this is something that I find pretty interesting.
What's that?
The Pac-12 is now getting credit from national writers for the Big Ten coming back, saying that one thing the Pac-12 was able to do was they were the first conference to secure daily testing. And then the Big Ten said, well, we're going to jump on board with that. Got the ball rolling for them. They have secured daily testing. Okay. They will be playing.
Okay.
Our P1 social is daily testing enough to get the Pac-12 back on the field?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's players and coaches across this conference that saw, wait a minute, they've got the exact same stuff we do. They had the same things holding them back that we did. We want to get back on the field, which led USC's players to write a letter to Governor Gavin Newsom requesting that they, and it was actually really well written.
Very well written.
I saw Amon St. Penned, Brown.
According to you, it was penned.
Yeah, it was penned. Amon St. Brown, Keaton Slovis, their offensive coordinator, Graham Harrell, a bunch of other guys were sharing this letter. Yeah. It says, Governor Newsom, our request of you is that you work with us urgently and purposely to find a path forward for us to resume competitions later this fall so that we can have the same opportunities as teams around the country to play at a national championship. It goes on to say, you know, their current reality is there's too many restrictions imposed by state and local public health officials in California. And it goes on to say, hey, the Pac-12 is adhering to what you're looking for. And we do have daily testing. Can we play? We're watching the other conferences play. Can we get in and do it? Is it going to be enough?
The texts are starting to roll in. Yes, we need to give the Pac-12 credit because the Big Ten looked at the Pac-12, said we don't want to be like them. So let's get back to playing football.
It's quite fair. There are three governors on notice, okay, three of them, Jay Inslee, Kate Brown, and Gavin Newsom. They are on notice now to open up the opportunity for this conference sitting out west here to play and come up with a plan along with Larry Scott and the rest of the leadership. They are on notice. If they continue this mindset that not to allow it, then there is no question, and there's never been a question in my mind, regarding whether their priority is to either justify their political agenda. Or really, do they care about athletics? Do they really care about the financial ability of these universities to be able to continue and the athletes' futures according to not just football, all the sports and all the young athletes that are out there wanting to compete? It is on them.
Yeah. And this is where, you know, we saw Micah Pittman, wide receiver for Oregon, Tyler Shuck, the, I guess, quarterback, the presumptive starting quarterback for Oregon. They both wrote letters to Governor Kate Brown on social media and posted them on social media, both asking, say, we're meeting the standards and the protocols that no other conference really is, and we do have daily testing, and that was one of the big parameters. Now they're asking for that help. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going, you had athletes at SC, Oregon, Cal, and Utah all reach out and to their state leaders and the Pac-12 and say, look, we're meeting the standards. We have the standards in place. Everybody else is going. When are we going to go? And this was the first step for the Big Ten to do it.
Let's see. This is a response. Now, Governor Newsom responded. I'm a little busy, guys, right now. I've got a few fires to deal with.
Like, there are far greater things to
right
worry
now
about.
For the Western governors is this isn't as much of a priority as certain other immediate issues.
And one thing, though, that Governor Brown here in the state of Oregon did is she said there were, or her office said they're working with the Oregon Health Authority. And the pathway to this is through the Oregon Health Authority and then to the governor. So it isn't something that is taking up really any of her time. It's just a proposal that she can say, okay, you guys sign off, we can sign off.
Guys, I don't even quite understand this process. It shouldn't even take more than a minute and a half of the time. This is not a priority ranking of what goes across the desk of the governor. Okay, there are people in place at these universities that they trust to manage this. They don't. This isn't a hard decision. Okay, it's already been proven across the country that everyone else is moving forward. And they sat back, the Big Ten sat back on August 11th, and they changed their mind, which is a great thing because that's what this conference should have done from the start. They should have allowed some of this to happen and say, we're postponing, we're waiting to see. October 24th is over a month and a half away. It's a month and a half away. Things are going to change even from now till October 24th, but at least they haven't said no. You know how everybody that starts a conversation with no, you're just up against it.
Yeah, and that was when this whole thing went down. I mean, we were both on the kick the can down the road. Don't make a definitive cancellation of anything until the new year, which is what the Pac-12 did. I will say Larry Scott has changed course since he's called it the game changer, that relationship with Quidel for daily testing, daily rapid testing. We went over kind of what that would mean for the conference, and that is a big one. But I mean, yeah, you can sit there and you can say we want, like, you can just vote to bring it back. But with the governors and what they're dealing with wildfires and other issues across Oregon and California, it is very low on the priority list. I mean, that is for Newsom.
That's never been.
It really is. So even if the universities do vote to bring it back, they still can't right now. So are you saying that we should vote it back? The conference votes it back and then just be like, okay, Kate Brown and Gavin Newsom, where are you guys at on this?
That's 100% what you have to do. You need to showcase exactly, because I have to reinstate this all the time. I really try to state this with conviction. Okay, we're a sports show wrapped around college football town, wrapped around a former college football player, All of this means a lot more than to the average person, because that's why we're in here. That's why I'm sitting here. That's why we do this. So the focus and the agenda of what we're trying to do is bring sports back, because we're a sports show.
Sure.
Politics has leaked into it here to the point where we can't even separate it. We can't find a way to separate it. The only way to do it now is to literally call the political leaders to the carpet and say, we would like to play. We have the right protocols. Here's the things. Other conferences are doing the exact same thing that we would like to do. Now, what is your reason?
And then what is your reason?
And then if you don't have a reason, which I listened to a governor say last night, we can't wait to hear from all these young athletes to tell us what we think they should do. I'm like, I'm just looking. Jay Inslee.
Oh, he did?
I'm excited for the Big Ten. I'm excited for college football because it means so much to the viewers and the people and the parents and the athletes. And you have to congratulate them for speaking up and getting their voice heard and creating influence and adjustment and change. They wanted that. They care about it. It's simultaneously, I've always felt that you can care about one thing and also listen to other people's opinions, care about that, appreciate that at the same time, take it all into context, and still move forward in the correct manner that you think is safe for your conference. And that's what the Big Ten did.
Let's see this from the 503. Oh. Yeah, LSU and the whole protocols thing aren't necessarily helping the situation.
Okay. And you know what? That is actually a good jumping off point, because we do have audio and is saying the LSU situation isn't helping the thing. Ed Orgeron with quite the statement yesterday. That was something that a lot of folks are pointing to and saying, exactly, this is why the Pac-12 made the right call. Hear from Ed Orgeron.
Yeah.
And we'll dive into it a little bit more when we come back. We want to know from you, 503-250-1080. Is daily testing enough to get the Pac-12 back on the field? Dustin Cam on the Fan. 503-250-1080. The Big Ten is back, and the Pac-12 is starting to speak up. Players are asking Governors Newsom in California, Brown here in the state of Oregon, to allow them to return to play. Is daily testing enough to get the Pac-12 back on the field? 503-250-1080. We got a text right before the break saying, you know, what's going on at LSU certainly isn't helping the situation. If you hadn't heard what Ed Orgeron said yesterday, the head coach of the defending national champs, making waves nationally with this.
I think that we've got a good handle of it, but once a kid gets it, the next man got to go up. And, you know, Mickey comes tell me, Jack comes tell me, this person tested positive, this person's going to be quarantined, they give me the number of days, and we've got to make adjustments. Look, 2 weeks ago, we had everybody on our offensive line except two or three guys were out. We couldn't go any team. We adjusted very well, and we've got to make adjustments. But I think most of, not all of our players, but most of our players have caught it. So I think that hopefully they don't catch it again, and hopefully they're out for games. You know?
I mean, having your team catch it, that's a pretty jarring statement. Well,
it's jarring, but I'm not looking for Ed Orgeron for coronavirus scientific knowledge.
No.
Are you? I mean, he's a head football coach from the Cajun country. who's trying to do the best he can. I personally, I'm like, this is just, it's one statement where you're going, what are you expecting from Ed Orgeron?
Well, you're expecting not to have most of your roster. You're expecting not to have, like, Texas Tech has 75 guys since they returned to campus in June test positive. And that is where I think the Pac-12 made the right call. Until we have daily testing, no, we shouldn't be playing. And that didn't mean cancel the season totally, but wait, and that's why I say kick the can down the road. The SEC protocols are testing twice weekly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing is we always say follow the medical professionals.
Uh-huh.
The medical professionals yesterday, we were talking about the Pac-12. They said daily testing is effective. It is way more effective, mm-hmm. and the Pac-12 would have that. And that would make me feel a lot better of something not happening like it's happening at LSU.
All right, more text rolling in. This one in 503 says, no, the point is we talk about protocols, keeping things in order. Doesn't sound like they're following protocols or the protocols don't work.
Who's we?
I think that is talking towards LSU,
okay,
or Texas Tech or some of these programs that have the widespread.
Well, that's why you have protocols. If they don't follow, then you don't get your players, and the players choose like that. But they are safer in those environments. They're around the right medical people. They're still able to get tested. And if they don't follow their protocols, just like all people have rules, and if that doesn't happen, then you don't get to play. I think that's kind of how this part works. Right?
But isn't that that's the big question, though, is that, like, is it really safer if you have most of an entire team, which would be a far higher positivity rate than the public?
None of us know that. We don't have that answer. None of us have the answer. We've already seen teams play. We've already seen teams like Notre Dame. We've seen teams throughout the country play football.
Sure.
So the question is just going to overarchingly be all year. It's going to be, what is the amount? What is the threshold? What can you do? What can you do? What can you do? It's too subjective right now. None of us have answers.
See, but you want to minimize the spread of this as much as you possibly can. And some of these programs it's just not happening. The numbers are there, like LSU and like Texas Tech, who's been out in the open with it. You know, we are knowing right now that it is still spreading. And with daily testing, what they're saying is that, and medical professionals are saying this, that you can get pre-symptomatic and asymptomatic people, and then that helps mm-hmm. with contact tracing. It helps with spread mm-hmm. to better than what the NFL is doing right now. And the NFL had 8,000 tests in a week, mm-hmm. and one player and seven support staff members in the entire league said that.
Right.
Let's see. This text said, I believe it was Suk last night mentioned the aspect of the Players United front and that aspect being resolved before they come back. Not sure if only daily testing gets it back in the Pac-12.
That's a great question. On there is
Players United front.
The United, you know, the We Are United, where they were asking for far more than just the protections against, you know, coronavirus, you know, the 50-50 revenue split, which was absurd. Yeah. But, I mean, I think as you see more of the USC, Oregon players, Utah, Cal, like we saw yesterday speaking up, I think that movement may be enough with the daily testing.
I don't know what that movement is going to do if the players have the option to play. Are they going to sit out because they didn't get their money or they don't feel comfortable? That's why you opt out. If you're not feel comfortable or if you don't feel like it's in the right protocol, then you can absolutely opt out. The point will be is that this united front meant that they were asking for revenue shares and all these things that had to do with money. We're just talking about the safety protocol for them being allowed to compete. And that's really what it's about. And good on the Big Ten for finding those protocols. And they're quite extensive to read through to see what they're doing. Well, myocarditis and what they're doing, how those testings are and how the daily testing, how they're going to assign in every university and on their program is going to have a COVID what they call director, who's going to be totally responsible within that communication within the conference. There's a lot of details that go into this, but they've exhausted every option and sat back for the last month and a half and allowed it to unfold around them. And they're going to have another month to get it all prepped and ready to go. It's very smart and it's great for them.
Daily testing was pivotal in the Big Ten's return. Question for you, 503-250-1080. Is daily testing enough to get the Pac-12 back on the field? Would love to hear from you. 503-250-1080. That is the fan text line, because now it's not just, you know, the daily testing that has come forward. look, the Big Ten players spoke up early and often, and there were quite a few of them.
Well, Justin Fields came out with it.
Now we're seeing a lot of the similar things from the Pac-12 as
well. I haven't seen any big-time Pac-12 player come out yet, other than what SC has.
Keaton Slovis and Amon St. Brown are...
They went on. I know I saw them talk with Fox with the Big Game show, or is it called the Big Game?
Big Noon Game.
Big Noon Game. I saw them speak with Joel Klatt, and they had that there. Both those guys were animate. They wanted to be safe, but they want to play. I haven't heard much. Mum's the word out of Oregon, Washington State.
Oregon, you had Micah Pittman, Tyler Shuck. You had Alex Mirabal,
right,
the offensive
on Twitter.
Line coach,
yeah.
Bennett Williams.
Yeah.
I mean,
this is what we have to do. We need these players to stand up, and I think they're a little bit more... Maybe they're more willing to want to look to their coaches too, because that's where I would start with is, you know, the Big Ten had their coaches really, really come out. And when Ryan Day posted that, I don't even want to call it a letter, but hearing Jim Harbaugh and hearing also getting the backing of your coaches too and having your coaches be on your side, players can be a little bit concerned about that. I understand that fear, and they're worried a little bit because they want to have their coach's voice with them together. We haven't quite seen that here in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
At all, whatsoever. It's been very quiet.
And I think a lot of where those rumblings started, though, was with transparency on the process. And, I mean, James Franklin, initially, it was all about transparency. Ryan Day was about transparency.
Well, they were critical of their leadership.
Right? Yes. Yeah. And in the Pac-12, it's a different set of issues because the transparency has been there. So those complaints aren't valid. It then goes to, you know, are you going to have head coaches calling out state leadership outside of the university, right? Or outside of the conference? And because that is where the issue lies with the Pac-12. Or they could, I guess, go down that road that you were talking about where you sit there and you say, are they going to start just pressuring the presidents to vote to move forward? Mm-hmm.
This is the final say on this. And I think this is about as clear as day. If the Pac-12 decides to hold Fort and does not compete this year, okay, I know I'm predicting the Pac-12 to dissolve this decade because I think of the influence of it. But if that does happen and all these athletes get to watch other teams competing, it's going to be a epic meltdown for recruiting for the next probably 5 to 6 years. Easily.
I think that separation will be even more pronounced.
Yeah, picking and choosing and understanding is that it will be quite obvious that this conference does not want to really risk itself to be viable for the future. And if that is their choice by the leadership out here and the political leadership, you just have to raise your hands up and go, all right, what do you do? That's why you have options. That's why college football, you have options.
But it hasn't hurt Oregon yet. I mean, they just picked up a big recruit the other day, or two, in back-to-back days.
My fingers are crossed, Dusty. I need Oregon to hold the candle. I need Oregon to stand up and just run out of here and go, look, every good recruit, I don't care, USC, Washington, I don't care. Oregon needs to succeed big time. They're the best brand in this conference right now. They have to succeed.
Rip City got a pickup last night after the salt was sprinkled. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.